So we're doing a little different format today, as I said, and this is also going to be a download on our website. And so, Teresa, when Nate said when we get home, you have this on your computer, and you're going to email it to Nate, and then it'll be available for download, because those who are listening on the website will be able to print this off and therefore follow through. This, what you're seeing here in front of you, these verses, is the stream of thought that the Holy Spirit gave to me in relation to this subject that we've been doing. And I thought that I would put it all together for you, and that we would today go through that, because the concept that is held here in this topic is massive, and that concept is basically that our salvation is not just an end game event, that our salvation impacts our lives every single day. And on both fronts, it is peace that God has on offer for his people. It is peace through the cross, as far as our death, and it is also peace for our lives because of the resurrection of Jesus. And that peace impacts how we live and how you think and how you feel. And so I want to go through these verses, and today it's going to be more of a teaching mode instead of a preaching mode. So what I'm going to ask you to do, well, first you might be saying to me, and if you do say this to me, you might be saying to me, Tim, are you not going to get off of this? Are you still on this topic? And I'm going to say back to you that if you say that to me, then you don't get it. Because if you do get this concept, you don't want to move off of it. It's so deep and so enveloping for our lives that if you do understand, if the Holy Spirit grants you understanding on this, you don't want to move on. So I have to back up, and I have to go through this in a teaching mode so that you, under the auspice of the Spirit, and I think I'm speaking under the auspice of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave this to me. I talked to Teresa this week, and I said, in fact, last night at our fireside chat, and I said, this message has just downloaded into my head from the Spirit, and I feel I feel compelled to pass it on to you. So that's what I'm going to do today, a teaching mode. So what will help you with these sheets is if you have a pencil handy, because, you know, you're on the website, you can't see this, but Tim's method of scripture is this, circles and arrows. And, you know, my Bible is that way. You couldn't possibly read my Bible. I can't read it. There are so many circles and arrows going all over the place because that's how I study scripture. And so I'm going to do that today. I'm going to tell you to circle. I'm going to tell you to draw arrows. And if you do that, if you go along with me, something really good is going to come into your lives. I'm confident of that. If you do it under the auspice of the Spirit and you allow him to teach you. So there's highlighters also. Do you see highlighters in the back of the pew? Some of them have highlighters. Well, you can highlight things too. So I'm going to recommend you do that. You don't have to, but I'm going to recommend it. So, one of my favorite artists, musical artists, is Anya. And Anya sings a song called May It Be. And I think it was used in the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And in that song, it has a powerful message, actually. And the phrase in that song is she says, "The promise lives within you now." And I think that sums up this whole topic of what I'm trying to teach you, is that the promise that God has made through his word to his people lives in us now. And because it lives in us now, it impacts our lives now. And I know, I am certain that God's people need this message. I've been getting feedback from website listeners who are taken up and caught up in this topic. So I hope that will happen to you, and I hope that the promise, as Anya says, the promise will live within you, that it is a living promise that day by day impacts us. So we're going to go through this, again, teaching mode, and you can ask questions. If you have questions, please ask while we're going through this. I will repeat your question so that it's picked up on the recording. All right? So we're starting with, how did this all come about in my head? It came about with Romans 1, 16 and 17. You see the verse at the very top of your sheet there. So we're going to pick this apart. Oh, you've already done that, Tim. Yeah, I know. But we're going to do it again. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is God's power for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, but also to the Greek. For in it, God's righteousness is revealed from faith to faith, just as is written, the righteous will live by faith." If you know anything about Paul, and I do, he writes so densely. This, what he says in these two verses is so dense and deep and massive. So let's do some circling, shall we? And you on the website, please download this document and go through this. Otherwise, it'll be difficult to follow this teaching today. So we're going to circle, well, what's the gospel? Circle the gospel. According to Paul, what's the gospel? We're staying in context. Well, we go down to the next verse, the next set of verses, to find out what is the gospel according to Paul. Well, he starts out in Romans by explaining what the gospel is. Romans 1, 1 to 4. Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ, called as an apostle and singled out for God's good news. Okay, there it is. So you draw an arrow, you circle the gospel, and then you draw an arrow down to God's good news. That's what, according to Paul, the gospel is. And I circled God's good news. And then Paul takes a little aside, which he promised. God promised something, and it's held in this gospel, and it's good news. And he promised it long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So what is the gospel? Verse 3, it's a story concerning his son. The gospel is the good news, and it's a story, and it's about his son. And this gospel and this good news about his son was promised by God at the very beginning of Scripture. At the very beginning, God made a promise, good news to the world, and it was a story about his son. So I circled concerning his son. The gospel, then, we know, two arrows. One goes to God's good news. The other arrow goes down to concerning his son. This is what Paul says is the gospel. Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was a descendant of David according to the flesh, and who has been declared to be the powerful Son of God by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness. So let's go back up to the first paragraph. God's righteousness is revealed. There's a circle. God's righteousness is revealed. How did he reveal the righteousness? How did he reveal he's going to keep his promise? Because he promised something about his son long ago in the scripture. And this story about his son gives us an example of how God kept that promise. And what was it? You circle, he resurrected him from the dead. That's how God's righteousness is revealed. So there's an arrow again. God's righteousness is revealed at the top. You circle, draw an arrow down to, how's it revealed? The resurrection of Jesus from the dead. That's how God revealed his righteousness. And remember, the definition of his righteousness is God's way of putting things and people right. His way of putting things and people right. And he made that promise. And it is the story concerning his son. And he made the promise a long time ago. And Paul is saying he kept it. And he demonstrated it. And Jesus was resurrected from the dead. So that is how his righteousness is revealed in this story. We can count on God. He kept his promise. But we have to understand in the first paragraph there, am I losing anybody? Plugged in? Good? Thanks, Barry. We have to understand the first paragraph, please. There are specifics. Here, you can maybe make that note. There are specifics. It is specific power. The gospel is specific power. To do what? Here's where...
Save.
That's right, Dave. Save, salvage, rescue. It has specific power to salvage us, to save us, to rescue us. That's the power of the gospel. The power is specific. The faith is specific. Paul says it's dependent on you believing this story. In order for you to be salvaged, in order for you to be saved, in order for you to be rescued, it is dependent on something. It is dependent on you believing it. But it is specific kind of faith, specific kind of belief. Jesus-derived faith. You've heard me use that term. Jesus-derived faith, not just a generic faith, which the world does say they have. The world banters about this word faith, and they have a totally different definition of what God's people have when we talk about faith. Please be specific on that. We have a faith that is given to us from Lord Jesus. It is not just a general, generic faith. So the power is specific, number one. Number two, the faith is specific, Jesus-derived faith. And number three, another specificity here. And the last one, the revelation is specific. The revelation of God's righteousness is specific. And what is the revelation of God's righteousness? Come on. What is it? We just went over in the second group of verses. The revelation of God's righteousness was what?
Resurrection.
Exactly. Thank you, Teresa. It is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. That's a pretty dramatic display, isn't it? That tells me something about this God. That tells me that the promises that he made, he's going to make good on. Because he demonstrated something. He demonstrated his faithfulness to his promise. In a powerful and very public way, he resurrected his son from the dead. So belief, your belief, stay with me. Your belief in this, your spirit-given belief in this is what has the power to rescue you today. That brings the power. The power of God's rescuing, the vehicle of that is our faith. And our faith makes the revelation that God promised real to us. It makes it true to us. It makes it fact to us. He kept his promise. His righteousness is revealed. God didn't just make an empty promise by saying, I'm going to set things and people right, which is the promise that he made, Paul says, through the ancient scriptures a long time ago. When we fell, when Genesis 3 happened, and when man and his creation went off the rails and things went terribly wrong, God right away intervened and he said, I'm going to reclaim my good creation. I'm going to reclaim things and I'm going to reclaim people. I'm going to bring back what I had always intended in Genesis 1 and 2. And the way I'm going to demonstrate to you that I can be counted on to keep that promise, I'm going to weave a story. And the story is going to be about my son. And I'm going to do something dramatic through my son and through this story that heretofore has never been done. And when I demonstrate this to you, you today in 2020 can know that I'm faithful. You today can know that I'm going to keep every promise that I've ever made to you in Scripture. And the reason you know that is because I revealed my righteousness. I revealed my fidelity. I revealed that I am trustworthy. How? Because I resurrected my son from the dead. Got it? Teaching mode. This isn't preaching. It may sound a little bit like preaching, but actually it's not. It's teaching, okay? So then we look at Colossians, the next group. And in this, that Colossians, that song, that poem in Colossians is where Paul beautifully lays out what Jesus did, all of his attributes and his how he was the creator and on. But there's one thing in there that hooked me. One thing in there that backs up what we're talking about, and that is verse 20. What does God intend to do through Jesus? Well, he resurrected him from the dead, and we might say, well, that's nice for Jesus. What about me? Well, it's nice for Jesus. What about the world? Well, look what God intends to do and is now doing through his son, through this story, through this resurrected Jesus, through the resurrected Jesus. Remember, the cross has one effect in our lives. The resurrection has another effect in our lives. We as God's people, sometimes we focus exclusively on the cross. The cross gave us peace with God. But the resurrection gives us peace with things. How about that? The cross, peace with God, we're reconciled. The resurrection brings another type of peace, and that's the kind of peace that I'm talking about today. So what did God intend to do through his son? And through him, look at verse 20 in Colossians 1. Through him, to what? Reconcile what? Everything to himself. To make things, over on the side I wrote, and I circled that, by the way. And if you're annoyed by me saying circle and draw arrows, well, get in line, because a lot of people are annoyed with me, okay? So just circle, and through him to reconcile everything to himself. That is the gist of the story. That is the gist of Jesus' work. That is what God is going to do through Jesus. The whole story about Jesus, the whole story about his son, this promise given eons ago in the ancient scriptures all comes down to this is the purpose. You see, this is what God intends to do. Reconcile everything to himself. Things and people. Things and people are going to be reconciled back to God. What does it mean to be reconciled?
Make up.
Yeah, make up, have peace, be together again, bury the hatchet, right? Do you have things in your life that need to be reconciled? You know you're reconciled with God. You know your body is reconciled. You know that through the cross. But how about your things? You see, we don't compartmentalize salvation. We don't say that salvation is so that we don't go to hell when we die. Although that's true. But it also has a much broader concept, and the broader concept of salvation is that your things will be reconciled. Your story will be redeemed. Your story will be also resurrected one day, as the voice from the throne says in Revelation 21, I'm making all things new. Things new. So there when we circle those phrases in verse 20, we see the whole point of the story of Jesus, his son, and God's work through him is to reconcile. That is it. Wonderful, right? Beautiful. The original, this is a money phrase, the original revelation of the righteousness of God, the original revelation that God can keep his promise, in other words, is Jesus' resurrection. Got it? When God did that on that first day of the week in that garden tomb, it was his stepping into our time-space matter, showing the world his righteousness. You can count on me. I made a promise to humanity, and I'm demonstrating my trustworthiness through this event. So God's righteousness was revealed originally when he resurrected Jesus from the tomb. And that is a revelation that reveals his righteousness. Tracking? Cool?
Yeah, it is. About to get better.
The original revelation of the righteousness of God is the resurrection of Jesus. Again, nice for Jesus. What's that got to do with us? God, bring some of that righteousness into my life. I want some of that making things right, God. Well, what's the downstream, because of the resurrection of Jesus, what is the downstream effect in our lives? That's what we want to know, isn't it? You know, otherwise this becomes a very sterile, historic event. The resurrection of Jesus has become shop-worn. We hear it so much, and we just say, yeah, yeah, I know that. But what the Spirit did to me in the last 2 months was like the great raptor that the Holy Ghost is, the adductor. He did sink his talons into me, and he said, I got to teach you something. I got to teach you the depth of the resurrection of Jesus and what it means for God's people, because there are a lot of God's people out there who are hungry for this. So what is the downstream effect of the resurrection, that historic event? What effect does it have on our lives? Well, it has two effects. Number one, its effect on people. This revelation has an effect on people. And number two, it has an effect on your things. The righteousness of God is his way of setting things and people right. And we can today, on this little church on Possum Run Road, we can be 100% certain that God's going to do that, because he revealed his trustworthiness, his righteousness, in and through this story. Got it? Tracking? You see, if God did the hard thing, like Paul says, how much more? If God did the hard thing through the sacrifice of his son, how much more, Paul says, will he not now, through the resurrection of Jesus, impact our lives today? What's the downstream effect? It's on people and things. Your life, your body, and your things, your story. Circumstance, situation, events, your story. Hebrews 2, 14 through 16, downstream effect. And this is the effect, and I wrote over in my margin, I wrote people, the cross, physical transformation. Now, since the children have flesh and blood in common, Jesus also shared in these, so that through his death, the cross, here's the effect of the cross, through his death, he might destroy death? No. Here's a nuance, and here's important. He destroys the one holding the power of death. And what does God do that is miraculous and beautiful and wonderful and helpful to us today? He takes the power of death and redirects it. Now, this is going to be important when we get to our things. He, God, uses death. He uses physical death. He redirects the power of death. Because the one who used to have the power, and I know this is review, but you know, I love to review this every single day. I review this every single day because it is so wonderful. Satan used to wield the power of death like a cudgel over humanity and destroyed humanity. But God destroyed the one holding the power of death in and through this son that is the devil. And what is the downstream effect? And here's a circle. And free those. He freed those who were held in slavery all their lives by the fear of death. Nuance. Notice, please, he does not free people from death. He frees people from the fear of death. Because he's got the power over death now. When Satan had the power over death, that would be frightening. Because you know why it's frightening? If you think Satan's your buddy, he hates humanity. Satan hates you. And when the one who hates me is holding the power of death, I'm afraid. Aren't you? I'm worried. Why is the fear of death gone for God's people? Because their death problem has already been dealt with. Your death problem has already been dealt with. This passage teaches me so much in Hebrews. It teaches me the power shift. There was a cataclysmic, universal, and Paul says, even says in Colossians later on, he says that this story of what he did, what God did through Jesus, resonated through the entire universe. He said it was preached through to every creature and throughout the universe. On that day, with this power shift, it's like God took a pebble in the middle of a very large pond and he dropped it into the middle of the pond, and the ripples of what he did have gone out forever. Because what happened and what the universe recognizes is that there's been a power shift, that the enemy no longer holds the power of death anymore. No longer. And we as God's people then are free from the fear of death. Why? Because the death problem's already been dealt with. Already been dealt with. The revelation has a reason, you see. See, we need to know. We needed to know about the resurrection of Jesus. Because an empty promise without it being backed up is just that, an empty promise. And Kathy, you said this morning in Teresa's Bible study. You said that Rahab had a faith because she saw God's works. You see, we need, as a species, we needed the revelation of the resurrection of Jesus. It has a purpose. God could have done that in secret and just said, I did this. But we saw the resurrection. It's recorded historically. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says 500 people saw the resurrected body of Jesus. So you see, the revelation held in Scripture for you and for me of God's righteousness has a reason. The downstream effect for you and me is that it frees us from fear. If you had to sum up, you know, I said a few weeks ago, if I had to sum up Scripture with two words, what would it be? Fear not. How many times do we hear that? Fear not. I need that revelation of God's righteousness. I need to know I can count on Him. I need to know that He's good in His Word. And I need to know that His promises mean something. And that's the downstream effect in my life today and in your life today because of this story of what God did and how He did it through His Son. And it is public knowledge. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's God's power for salvation to all who believe. Why, Paul? Because in it the righteousness of God is revealed. What do I need, Paul, to plug into this and get rid of my fear? What's the one thing that all of God's people have in common? One thing. We come from different backgrounds, socioeconomical, racial backgrounds, church backgrounds, but there's one thing that we have: faith. Jesus-derived faith is the one commonality that we have. And it is that Jesus-derived faith that brings the righteousness of God leaping off the pages of Scriptures, and we say, I can count on this. I can count on God. The title of our message was "The Future Rushes Forward to Meet Us in the Present." Here's what this passage teaches me. We'll end on this then, because next week we will start on fear of things. See, we've just dealt with fear of death today, and you all have that down. Every single one of you have that down, fear of death. We get it. Next week, how about fear of things? But before we do that, here's what this passage teaches me. Here's a money phrase. Our belief / faith in the future reality of God's righteousness impacts my now reality. Can you allow that to happen in your life? Are you blocking that? The author of Hebrews says here just that. My belief in the fact that death is no longer my enemy, that God is using it, can rush forward and impact my reality today. You need some today reality impacting. Because something's got you enslaved. It released people who were held in slavery all their lives by fear. Power shift. Do your things have power? How about a power shift there? Need that? Because the enemy wants you to cower in slavery, to fear. How contemporary is this message today? How contemporary? Our nation. If the charges are true, the corruption is mind-boggling. And so disappointing. It's like finding out there's no Santa Claus again. You know, because I used to look at, well, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go on that tangent, on that rant. You want God's future to come rushing forward and meet you in the present. You want God's future reality to come rushing forward and impact your now reality. I do too. Else my faith isn't worth much except for a carrot at the end of the stick of a dirt farmer's mule that I keep trying to reach for that carrot. And one day I'm going to reach that carrot and darn, I have to die to get it. No. God says, Jesus says, the righteousness of God says it's here and it's now, and you can have peace and you can have freedom from fear here today, now. That's the gist of this message. That's what the Spirit dropped into my heart. And these verses and the flow of these verses show you where the Spirit took me and the thread that he wove to prepare these messages. And next week, we will talk about fear of things. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you bless these words with your reality. Amen.